Of the 85 judges and magistrates in the Rhode Island court system, just three are African American. NAACP Providence President Jim Vincent calls the judiciary one of the most egregious when it comes to the lack of diversity. There are no black judges on the state Supreme Court. There are no blacks on the state's traffic court either. And there are no blacks among the state's judge magistrates. There are no black women on the bench at any state court. Here's who we do have. Judge William Clifton sits on the district court. Rossie Lee Harris is a family court judge. And Walter Stone, who was one of the state's most prominent trial lawyers, is the lone African-American on Rhode Island's top trial court. But Justice Clifton is now 73 years old. Stone is battling serious health issues and is no longer working full-time. Harris was sworn in just last August. In just about every state, politics is at the core of judicial selection. Some states elect judges, others give governors outsized say in who wears the black robes. Rhode Island has a system that sifts those who apply with vetting from a judicial nominating commission. The commission forwards a list of names to the governor, and the ultimate say rests with the state senate under Rhode Island's constitution. This is how it works on paper. In reality, everyone in the system knows the statehouse crowd is firmly in control. There is no hard and fast rule to becoming a judge. Nowhere is it written that the most qualified lawyer is chosen. It's pretty much up to the statehouse gang to sort things out. So it's not surprising that when there are, say, three judicial openings, the House Speaker gets one pick, the governor another, and the Senate President the third. The political nature of the system tends to discourage applicants with scant political juice. Black lawyers often don't apply, says Jim Vincent of the NAACP. He says, quote, they think the fix is in, unquote. Applying for a judgeship isn't like applying to college or for most jobs. Lawyers in private practice have clients. When a lawyer seeks to become a judge, his or her name becomes public and the clients aren't always pleased. The law is a less genteel profession nowadays and more a business, sometimes a cutthroat one. So lawyers who seek judgeships know that their competitors will try to poach their clients. It wasn't always this way. It used to be worse. A series of judicial scandals combined with the credit union crash in the 1990s led to the current selection process. Years back, General Assembly leaders simply plucked one of their own and put him or her on the bench. The Judicial Nominating Commission has made the system more transparent, but a lawyer still needs some winks and nods from Smith Hill to wind up on the bench. Then there's the magistrate loophole. Magistrates are not subject to the judicial nominating system. They're still chosen by the purely political whim of statehouse leaders. But the system isn't the only bar to more minority judges, says Ed Clifton, a retired African-American Superior Court judge. Not every black lawyer wants to be a judge. As is the case for top white lawyers, becoming a judge often entails a pay cut that younger lawyers with families don't want to take. Still, the lack of black judges is embarrassing in a state with a population of more than a million people. There may be some hope. A black woman lawyer, Melissa Long, has been cleared by the Judicial Nominating Commission and sent to the governor's desk. Rhode Island's had a black community since before the American Revolution. Lawyers from immigrant groups that have come to our state much more recently are better represented on the state bench. It's past time for our political leadership to encourage qualified black lawyers to seek judgeships. Politicians love to say that the strength of Rhode Island lies in its diversity. The question in Black History Month is, do they truly believe that?